Hey guys, you're listening to another podcast from Detonate Youth at C3 Church San Diego. If you'd like to find out more, go to www.detonateyouth.com. We hope you enjoy.
You're a God who changes. Father God, that you are a God tonight that's going to impact every youth in this place. Father God, I pray that you speak through me. Your Holy Spirit would speak through me into the lives of every young person sitting in this room tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said? Amen. Awesome. Who's ready? Anybody ready for a good night? Hey, this is what I want you to do tonight for me. Tonight, I want everybody in this place to get as crazy as you can while I'm preaching. While I'm speaking, I want you guys to go insane. I want you guys to yell. Right. So I want you guys to get as crazy as you can. I want you guys to yell. Oh my gosh. Tell you what. You know, I think this side's a little bit better. So when I'm preaching, I want you guys to yell. Right. You guys think you can do better than that? I know it's a little bit less. So when I'm preaching, I want you guys to yell. Let's do it again. Okay, one more time. That was unbelievable. So when I'm preaching, let's rewind. When I'm preaching, I want you guys to yell. Oh, that's good. I love it. Now I'm feeling the energy a little bit more in here. I'm feeling the energy to be able to preach. Man, God loves it when there's energy in a room, when there's that hype going on. I know people are like, oh, stay away from hype. Don't go near hype. You know what? I believe that Jesus loved hype. I believe that Jesus was always talking to his disciples, hey, look, I love hype. So you guys be as hyper as you want, man. Let's get as crazy as you want and focus on what God's going to do tonight. So I want you guys, if your friend's distracting you, elbow him in the middle rib. I think it's the floating rib, the one that actually hurts the most. Give him a little elbow in the floating rib. Say, pay attention because God's going to rock your world tonight. So, hey, let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, what I'm speaking on tonight is called the road of change. The road of change. This is about Paul tonight. So I want you guys, like I was saying, I want you guys to yell amen. I love it. I'm with you. I'm feeling you. Preach more. Preach louder. Yell more. Because I can yell more if you guys want me to. But I want you guys to get into it tonight. Okay? So what I love about Detonate is actually interactive service. So it's not me just giving something to you. It's me giving something to you and you giving me something back so we can work with each other tonight. Is that cool? Is everybody with me tonight? Cool. Because it's Saturday night. No school tomorrow. So that right there has got to give you reason to be excited. Am I right? That's awesome. Acts chapter 9 verse 5. Everybody write this down. The road of change. The road of change. And not like quarters and dimes, but like a change, a shift in your life. This is what it says. I love this. I'm going to actually start, let's do this. I'm going to start in verse 1, okay? Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Now, when they say Saul, is actually Paul, but this is before they changed his name. Cool? Everybody with me? Is that cool? Awesome. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Everybody say, the road to change. The road to change. I know I said the road of change, road to change, same difference. Cool. The road to change. See, I really believe that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was on this road. Paul was persecuting Christians. He was persecuting people like you. He was actually killing, murdering, binding, putting in jail people like you because he hated the church. He hated Christians. He hated people that loved Jesus. So what I honestly believe, and the title of this message, The Road to Change, is there is a hole, and there is an empty spot inside of you that can only be filled by Jesus Christ, that can only be filled by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit. And what happens is we walk through our day by day, we walk through and go through our day with this hole and with this thing missing inside of our life. And the reason that we wake up and we feel depressed, the reason that we go through our life, and no matter what we do, we're depressed or we're angry or we're upset about something, is because what we do as humans is we fill that void that only Jesus is meant to fill with something else, something that's temporary, something that doesn't last. See, what we need to do, guys, young people, what we need to do is get to a place where we're filling that void with Jesus. I know some of you tonight are like, oh, yeah, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm filling that with Jesus. I'm filling it with God. So I'm just not, I'm gonna check out tonight. Can I tell you something? You can actually, I'm going to speak the truth, okay? You can actually be a Christian and not fill that void with God. You can actually call yourself a Christian, but there's still a void missing in your life because you're not walking the life that God intended you to walk. And so tonight, guys, the Apostle Paul was on this road to Damascus, on this road to persecute Christians, to persecute people, and God encountered him, and God met him. So what I want to talk to you guys tonight is about that road in your life that every single person walks. Every single day you're walking this road, and what we need to do when we walk this road, God is going to encounter you. God is going to change you. He's going to fill that void in your life tonight. And I really feel like this is a message that we have to get a hold of. For myself, when I was reading this, man, I had this other message honestly planned, but God said, no, this is the one that you got to speak. This is the one that you got to get into tonight. Because I feel like every person in here is dealing with that same thing where maybe they're doing awesome at this one time, but then a week later, they're not feeling the same way. Like, oh my gosh, what has God left me? What am I going through? I don't feel the same way I used to feel. And everybody's walking through this in their life. Well, we have to get to a place, guys, when we're on this road to change, when we encounter God and he fills that void that we're missing in our life. He fills that gap that has that place in your life that can only be met with Jesus. So honestly, tonight here, I know there's people in this place who are dealing with that in their life, who've never accepted God into their life, who've never actually felt the presence of God. Tonight is your night, guys. Tonight, young people, is your night to experience God, to meet with God. So here's how we do it. Cool. Is everybody with me tonight? Awesome. First thing, and I want you to write this down, is don't run. Don't run. All right? This is what it says. In verse 5, he says, and he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Man, let me read it one more time. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. How powerful is that? How many people know what a goat is? Anybody? Exactly. I sort of not. And so a lot of times when you're reading the Bible, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so good. God is good. It is so hard for you to kick against the goads. And I'm reading that, and I'm like, that's awesome, but what is a goad? I'm like, yeah, that's cool, God. Yeah, I'm not going to kick against the goad. And so often I'm reading the Bible, and there's words in there that we don't understand. There's words in there that we don't get, that aren't making sense to us just like that. So I'm like, oh yeah, God, yeah. Awesome, dude. I totally get it. I'm with Paul. It is hard to kick against those goads, man. Anytime I try to kick against those goads, nothing happens. I'm like, and so I'm reading this week. I'm like, oh, yeah. And so many times I just read it. Oh, yeah, it's hard to kick against the goads. Sweet. I mean, God, what's a goad? Like, I mean, sure, it's hard to kick against it, but, you know, is it like a goat and a dog mixed? Like, is it hard to kick against a dog goat? Is that it, God? And so as I look into it, and as I get into the scriptures, and I'm like, God, you gotta show me something. You gotta reveal this to me. And I'm like, God, I don't understand, man. Yeah, maybe it is hard to kick against this goat, but I don't understand what it is. And after reading it and looking it up and getting into the scriptures, a goat was actually this metal rod with a pokey end on it, little pokey end on the end of this rod. And what farmers would do is they would take this and they would poke cattle and they would poke sheep and they would poke these guys to get them moving. And that's how they would feel, the animals would feel that farmer's there, because they would poke them with this goat. They'd poke them with this jabby stick. And so I'm reading this, and as I see, oh my gosh, this is what a goat is, this light bulb clicks on in my head, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is what God is meaning. So Paul, on the road to Damascus, and we always think, oh my gosh, Paul had nothing to do with God, didn't want anything to do with God, but what it says, Jesus says, is look, is it hard to kick against the goats? Because Jesus knows that Jesus has been after Paul. He's been after him, poking him, and poking him, and poking him, and Paul has been running, and running, and running, and running, and finally God says, you know what, enough is enough. I'm coming down and I'm showing you who I am. Because Jesus says, look, it's hard to kick against the goat. Don't run. Don't run. Can I tell you something, guys, tonight? Man, you're in a place when you know that there is a tugging on your heart, and there's a tugging for you to serve God, to go after God, but there's something blocking it, and there's something getting in the way. Well, what we have to do, guys, tonight is we have to get to a place where we stop running. We say, God, here I am. God, I felt this tugging. I felt this pressure. I felt you pushing me, but tonight is enough. God, I'm going after you. God, I'm coming after you, and I'm done running. I'm done escaping from you. I'm done. And here's the thing, guys. Man, running isn't a cool thing. See, there's a guy in the Bible named Jonah. Jonah was a guy who was in the Bible, and he ran from God. God called him and said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. It's going to be awesome. Jonah doesn't do it. Jonah gets on the boat, crazy storm. They actually throw him off the boat. He gets swallowed by a great fish who turns him into an albino man, spits him up onto the shore. He's covered in all these whale juices, fish juices, albino man, because he ran from God. Can I tell you something? Don't run from God. Don't run from the call of God. Don't run from what God is doing in your life. Because I can tell you, what we do as humans is we put something in the place of the call of God on our life. Oh, I got to go to school. And I'm not telling you not to go to school. School is an incredible thing. College, university is an amazing thing, and do it. But what we do is we replace the house of God, and we replace the things of God for things that are less important in our life, for things because we don't want to face up that God is calling us. Maybe God is calling some of you to be pastors or be youth pastors or to do something awesome or to go to Bible college or to do something in the ministry. But what we do is we run from the call of God in our life because we're too afraid and too scared of what's going to happen. What's going to happen if I do that? What's going to happen if I forget about these dreams and aspirations and I go for God? I don't know what I'm going to do. And like Paul and like Jonah and like those men in the Bible that ran from God, man, they're missing out on the destiny and opportunity that God has for your life. And guys, we have to get to that place where we don't run anymore. How many people, actually, I'm not going to ask that. See, when I was a little kid, I used to run away from home every once in a while. And maybe you're like me, but I was a baby. Let me tell you, I probably don't look like it now. I might look tough or whatever, but I was the biggest baby. Anything my parents would do in my life, I would get upset and offended. I'd be like, that's it, Mom, I'm running away. And she's like, yeah, whatever. So I'd be like, no, I'm serious. I'm running away, Mom, for sure this time. Put my shoes on as I'm crying. I've had enough, Mom. It's the last time you take my macaroni and cheese. That's it. Putting on my shoes, lacing them up, and sure enough, I head out the door. And I'm like, that is it. Go out the back door because the front door looks like I, whatever. I'm like, no, back door. I'm going out the back door. Go out the back door, run down to the end of my street. And at the end of my street, there was these benches. And I'd run there, and I'd sit on those benches. Showed you, Mom. Running away. Sit on those benches. Then I'd be like, what am I going to do now? Like 11 years old. I have no money. I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt and sneakers. Like, I'll go back home. So sure enough, go back home. My parents don't even care. Go into my room. A few weeks later, same thing happens. You know what, Mom? That is it. You will not turn off Mighty Morphin Power Rangers on me. I'm running away. This is the last time. Put on my sneakers. I'm out the door to the park benches. I sit on them, and I say, all right, I'm going home. Go back home again. Couple weeks later, same thing. There's my mom and dad again. Get me up early. How many people hate getting up early when they don't have to? Man, come on. And I'm like, you're getting me up early? I'm running away, Mom. That's it. I've had enough of you and you waking me up early on a weekend when I don't want to get up, put my sneakers on. I run out one time, true story. I didn't even want to put my shoes on because I was so upset. I had my socks on. I lived in Oregon when it rains like 390 days out of the year. And so I had no shoes on, and sure enough, bolted out the front door, crying as I'm running down my hill. You'll never do that again, Mom. I'm running away. And I'm honestly, a lot of times when you tell a story, you're exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. I ran with my wet socks on to the park bench and cried and felt sorry for myself for 5 minutes, and then again I went home. So can I tell you guys something? Running away will never get you anywhere. Running away will never amount to anything in your life. And what we do is we run from God because we don't want to deal with things, because there's things that are happening and there's a call of God on your life in this place tonight, on your heart, and you can feel the tugging. You can feel the presence of God tugging you, saying, come to me, come to me, come to me, come to me. And what we do is we run. Guys, tonight make a decision to stop where you are and stop the running. Stop running tonight. Let's say, God, this is it. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. No more running. We got to stop running. Second thing. Awesome. He's into it, man. Come on. Second thing, you got to make a choice. Paul made a choice. Paul made a choice when God met him. He could have said, oh, man, that's sweet, God. You're the man. Knocked me off my horse. I'm blind. Cool. But this ain't my thing, dude. I'm out. I'll see. I'm going back. Maybe I can rub some stuff in my eyes. But, you know, so often we're like, oh, yeah, Paul had no choice. Man, he was blind. God showed him. He had no choice but to go after God. It's not true. Paul had a choice to whether or not he wanted to really go for God. But God met him, and he made a choice to go for God. Can I tell you a story? I was in high school, obviously, and I was in weightlifting. And my school was this old school, and some of you probably heard this story before. But my weightlifting gym was about 4 times the size of this stage, if you can kind of picture that. About 4 times the size of this stage, and in this weightlifting gym was enclosed in a fence. And this fence was one of those fences, you know, you see them outside that go like this, little chain link fence that goes like this, and at the top there's these spikes that go up. You guys all know those? Anybody? You guys all know those? Yeah, cool little things. My gym was super old. And my dream and my aspiration when I was in school was I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. Above anything else, I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. So I trained for it. I held my breath for over 3 minutes in the pool. The lifeguards would have to come over to me and shake me, be like, you can't do that. I'm like, well, I'm doing it. You can't do it. I'm doing it. You can't. But so I wanted to be a Navy SEAL more than anything in my life, and my friends knew it. So one day, my friends challenged me. They said, look, Chittick, if you want to be a Navy SEAL, when the teacher's back's turned, you'll climb that fence, jump over it, and get to the other side before he looks. And like any smart teenager, I thought about it. I'm like, you're right. I'll do it. So sure enough, his back turns, I see him, and I scurry up the side of the fence, get over to the other side, jump down, make it. I'm like, woo, Navy SEAL, baby, yeah. Get to the other side. A couple minutes later, my friends, good, great friends. You got to get friends like this, I'm telling you, man. They really care about me. They go, hey, Chittick, dude, that was cool. But if you want to be a Navy SEAL, you'll climb that fence again. And again, like any smart teenager who hasn't learned their lesson the first time, I'll do it. I'm in it. So again, teacher's back turns. Next thing you know, I'm scurrying. Jump over the fence, hit the other side, run around. Yeah, baby, he did it. Woo, Navy SEAL. My friend's like, yeah, Chittick, good job, awesome. So I'm like, oh, man, I've done it, proved it. I'm going to be a SEAL. That's it. Hands down, that's the test. I did it. Third time, my friends, great friends, man. I love them. Think about them all the time. Chittick. That was cool, 2 times. But if you really want to be a SEAL, you'll climb that fence 1 last time. So I think about it. Man, I don't know. 2 is a lot. I'll do it. So sure enough, teacher, this one's in slow motion, because everything that happens in your life is always in slow motion, right? In movies, in life, when something happens that's important, everything slows down. So I'm getting ready, weight lifting bench right here, bench press. Teacher is facing me, looking at something, and he turns. He turns. As soon as I see him turn, like Spider-Man, climb up the side of the fence. As I'm getting my foot, my right foot over the side, I look. My teacher, whose back was turned, is now starting to turn back in my direction. Ooh. and I see him, and the only thing I can think of is jump. And so here I go. Right foot goes over. I see my teacher turn. My right foot goes over, and I release and jump so he doesn't see me. The only problem is this fence, like I said, goes like this. And at the top, it sticks like this. Well, when you jump off of something and there's daggers sticking through the fence, you get caught up a little bit. So as my teacher turns and looks, I didn't make it down. I actually got stuck up on the fence. And one of those little chain link fence stuck and pierced the inside of my arm. And so I'm sitting there hanging from my arm on this fence as the teacher's looking. I'm like, hey, nothing to see here. Just washing stuff, just hanging and washing stuff from here. And so I had to climb, humiliated, everybody's watching. I had to climb back up the fence and pull my arm off of this fence. And I saw my skin stretch until this barb popped out of my arm. See, can I tell you something, guys? Your choices that you make are going to determine where you go in your life. See, I had a choice then to listen to my friends and be like, nah, you're idiots. I'm going to get hurt. I'm not doing it. I don't got to prove anything to you. But I didn't. I said, oh, yeah, man, you're right, dude. If I want to be a SEAL, I got to jump that fence. I got to climb it as many times as you say because that's how I prove I'm going to be a Navy SEAL. See, what I'm saying tonight, guys, is us in our life, we're faced with choices like that. We're faced with circumstances in our life when we come up to, just like Paul, saying, I got a choice whether I can go back to my family, go back to my friends, go back to where it's safe, or I can make a choice to go after God. The road that leads to change is the road that God walks on. And the only way we will change in our life is if we make that choice and that decision to follow after God. When I was a little man, and in Oregon, again, it rains all the time, I had a sweet Huffy bike. Did anybody have a Huffy bike growing up? Taylor, I think Huffy's almost done with. All the old guys had Huffies. My Huffy bike was sweet, dude. I had this Huffy bike with a number plate on it, and the gear shifter was right here, like I was driving a space shuttle. It was right here, and I'm like, dude, this Huffy is awesome. I can jump things, and I'm driving down the road on my bike, riding my bike as fast as I can. It's rainy outside, and there's all these leaves that are covering the road, and I think I'm the coolest thing ever because I got a Huffy bike, baby. Huffy bike with a shifter right in the middle like a space shuttle. So I'm like, you know what? I bet I could jump some leaves. How many people know it's hard to jump leaves? I mean, they're super tall. It's like jumping giant ramps and stuff. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to jump these leaves. And that was back in the day when Boom Shakalaka was cool. Does anybody still say that? I still say it, Boom Shakalaka. All right, so I'm just kind of letting you know how old I am. So I'm riding my bike down this road as fast as I can, and I'm jumping over leaves, and every time I'm yelling it, Boom Shakalaka, Boom Shakalaka, Boom Shakalaka, Boom Shakalaka, and because it's raining, it gets slippery on the pavement. Boom Shakalaka, Boom Shakalaka, Boom, Boom Shakalaka. And I cut my hands open, split my chin open, because a darn leaf was in the way, jumped up and grabbed my tire and pulled me smack down on the road. See, again, I was faced with a choice. My choice was, hey, maybe it's not too smart to try to jump your bike when it's raining outside. But I'm like, nah, it's awesome. Another time on my bike, same Huffy bike. This thing was awesome, I'm telling you. If you can get a Huffy bike like this, get a Huffy bike like this. I made this sweet ramp about this high in the air. I'm like, I'm going to jump this thing. This is going to be awesome. So I go up the hill. My friends are watching. And I go as fast as I can, put the shifter into overdrive. Coming fast as I can off my Huffy bike. Sail through the air. Man, it's awesome. If you look at it from a side view, here I am sailing through the air on my bike. The only thing is my bike stopped moving and I kept going over my handlebars. And next thing you know, I'm Superman. Broke both of my wrists. Again, jacked open my chin. Had to get stitches, braces, and all that stuff. See, guys, the moral of those stories is we got to make choices in our life, guys. We're faced with circumstances in our life when we say, I have a choice to do the right thing or the wrong thing, to go after God or to not go after God. And can I tell you guys tonight, if you're in this place, man, Make the choice to follow God. Make the choice to get on that road of change, that road that leads to life. You know, Jesus, when he was about to get crucified, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, late at night. And he's praying, crying out to God, saying, God, I don't want to do this. Is there any other way? Is there any other way? The Bible says he was praying so hard that he was dripping drops of blood while he was praying. God, is there any other way? Is there any other way? He says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus was faced with a choice. Man, Jesus didn't have to die on the cross. Can I tell you that? He wasn't forced to die on the cross for you and I. It was a choice that he made right then, saying, not my will, but your will be done. Paul, on his way to Damascus, was faced with a choice, saying, I can either go back or go forward and serve my God. And he said, enough is enough. I'm going after God. Guys, tonight, man, can we make that decision? Say, this is a night when I'm going after God. Last thing Paul did, and it's good. I'm going to close. So you guys can come on up, Jamesy. I'm going to close pretty quick, man. And this is one of the most important things tonight that I want you guys to get a hold of. Paul. Do you know that Paul was a persecutor and a murderer of Christians? Murdered Christians. Imprisoned people like you and me. But, man, what we have to know that on this road of change, on this road when God meets us, on this road that we get empowered and we encounter God, there's no condemnation for you guys. See, Paul was a murderer. He even said he was the chief. He's like, through all these sinners, he's like, I'm the chief of every sinner for what I've done. Yet, even though Paul said, look, I'm the chief of all sinners, Paul writes in Romans 8, he says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want you guys to think about that. Paul, who killed, murdered innocent people, wrote something in Romans, said there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Young people tonight, man, if you can get anything tonight, I want you guys to get that. If you truly want to encounter God and meet with God, I mean, you have to know that there's no condemnation for what you've done. There's no judgment. There's nothing saying, look, you've made this wrong decision. Who do you think you are to come to me? Who do you think you are to be a Christian because of the decisions that you've made? You're nothing. You're worthless. You don't deserve any of this. Paul says, no condemnation. Come to God. It's a great story of a girl. And she lived in a really poor area. And her mom were working just to make it. Just to make it. And as the girl gets older and grows up, she turns into this gorgeous girl. Gorgeous girl. And everybody's like, oh, you're so beautiful. You could be a model. You're unbelievably gorgeous. And so she makes a decision saying, oh my gosh, man, I got to do something with this. So she leaves and goes to the city and tries to be a model, tries to make it so she can earn money, so she can send back to her mom so they can get out of this hole that they've been in for so long. And she gets there and she finds out that it's so hard to make it as a model. She can't do it. She's been trying and trying, but she can't do it. But she doesn't want to go back home because she's going to feel like a failure. She's like, oh, I got to do something to make money. I got to get my family out of this hole that they've been in. I got to get my mom out. She loves me. She's been working her whole life. And I came and I left her and I failed. I can't leave. And because of the guilt and the condemnation in her life, she turns to a life of prostitution in that city and gives her life night after night to men. And she's so broken and hurting inside. And after months and months go by, her mom gets so worried because she hasn't heard from her. She goes to the city with all these pictures of her little girl. She looks for her, looks for her. She's asking people, have you seen my daughter? Have you seen my daughter? And on the front of this photo, it said, you know, looking for you, I love you. On the front of this photo, she posted up everywhere. Have you seen my daughter? She couldn't find her daughter, so she went back home. Later on that week, her daughter comes down the stairs and she sees on this board this picture of her saying, I love you. Come back home. She takes that picture off and she goes upstairs to her room, starts bawling and crying. But she can't bring it to herself to go back home because she feels like a failure, because what she's done in her past, the thoughts that she's had, the things that she's done, she feels so guilty and condemned that she can't see her mom anymore. She can't tell her mom. Mom, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know. If you only knew the things that I've done, you wouldn't want me to come home. And a couple months later, this girl's still broken and hurting inside, takes that picture out to look at it again and turns that picture over, something that she's never seen before, turns that picture over. And on the back of the picture, it says, daughter, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I love you. Come home. And she breaks into tears again. Her heart, because she feels so condemned. She feels so hated. She hates herself. People hate her. But because of what her mom wrote, she goes back home. Mom's there with open arms. Guys, can I tell you that it's a picture of who my God is? That is a picture of who Jesus is for you. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter the things that you've done or seen or been to or committed. And there's no condemnation for you tonight. There's no condemnation. God is here saying, just come to me tonight. If you really want to encounter God, like I said, you can live a life of a Christian and never encounter God, never truly meet God. I mean, we have to get to a place where we can encounter God. And it takes perseverance. It takes that us getting up again and again. So no matter what, I'm walking this road. I'm walking this road of change and I'm never looking back. It's another guy. His name was Glenn Cunningham. It was back in the days when in the classrooms he had to stoke a wood fire. Well, one morning he was stoking this wood fire. And as he gets there before everybody else, because he wants to get the fire going so it warms up the schoolroom for him. So as all the students are arriving, they see the smoke billowing out and they get to the school, rush to the school, and the school is burning down, flames are roaring up. Well, they had just enough time for the guys to get in there and pull Glenn out of there, pull him out of the fire. The only thing is he was burnt from head to toe. His legs were demolished from the burns and the scars from being in there. And he goes to the hospital and the doctor's like, oh my gosh, like, it's not going to be worth it. And he hears the doctors saying to his mom, look, it'd be better if, you know, we just ended his life. Because even if he survives this, he's never going to walk again. He's never going to run again. He's not going to be a real boy again. But he makes a decision. Glenn, the little boy, says, no, I'm going to run again. I'm going to walk again. I'm going to be a normal boy again. So he gets home. He's in a wheelchair. And every day his mom would wheel him outside so he could enjoy the sunlight. Wheel him outside, and his legs were so small and weak because he hadn't done anything on them. And day after day his mom would wheel him out there. Well, one day, his mom wheels him out there and he sees around his house was this white picket fence. Pastor Jurgen has told this story a bunch and it's so incredible. It's a white picket fence around this yard. And he gets this determination, desire in his heart to learn to walk again. So he pulls himself out of his wheelchair, his legs not working at all, and crawls over to the fence. Crawls because his legs don't work, and pulls himself up on the fence with his legs just laying there limp, pulls himself up, and day after day pulls himself across this fence, around this yard, so much that after a while there was a path worn out from where he was walking day after day after day. And, you know, for the first little while, all he was doing was dragging his little legs. Well, then he started to be able to walk a little bit on this fence, slowly, but he was able to walk little by little. And he kept doing it day after day after day. He kept walking, kept walking, kept walking, getting better, getting better. And soon he was able to walk normal. And then he was able to run. And he was able to run as fast as he could. And every day he would walk. And every day he would run. And every day he would get up with joy and with determination to run to the best that he can. Well, when he was older, Glenn Cunningham, the little boy who the doctor said would never walk or run again, ran the fastest mile because he had a determination and desire in his life to not give up, that there was a road of change in front of him. And just like Paul, he had a decision that had to be made, that I can sit here and not do anything about it, or I can grab a hold of the call of God on my life and go after him. Why don't you just all bow your heads tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Jesus, you are awesome. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. It's another story just like that in the Bible with Peter, the rock. The day Jesus was taken, Jesus says, Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter says, no, man, I'm not going to deny you. Every eye closed. Man, I don't want any distractions right now. It's not a time to joke with your friends. It's a time, man, where God wants to touch your life. There's people in here right now, as I'm speaking and as I'm saying this, Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, saying, I need to change. I need a change in my life. I need to walk this road. Peter, this awesome man, Jesus says, look, you're going to deny me. He's like, nah, Jesus, I'll never deny you. If anybody else denies you, I'll never deny you. And as Jesus says, surely I say, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me. So Peter, as he's walking, sure enough, he denies Jesus three times, saying, I don't know him. I don't want anything to do with him. I don't know him. The third time Peter does it, he looks, and Jesus is looking right at him, and the rooster crows, and Peter knows, oh my gosh, I just denied my Savior, my King, who's going to die for me. And you can see in the face of Jesus that his heart breaks, because Peter, who loved him so much, denied that he even knew him. Peter was so broken and hurting. Well, Jesus goes, dies on the cross, raises from the dead, and then comes looking for the disciples. Comes looking for Peter. He finds Peter. He says, Peter. Peter's like, yeah, Lord. He says, Peter, dude. Puts his arm around him. This guy who just denied him. Puts his arm around Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? Peter's like, yeah, Lord, man, I love you. I love you. He says, awesome, feed my sheep. And he says again, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Peter says, Lord, I love you. I love you. And Jesus says again, and tend my sheep. And the third time, Jesus says, Peter, with his arm around him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, man, God, you know I love you. And you know I love you. And Jesus says, awesome. And tend my lambs. What's so powerful about that story is, Peter denied Jesus three times. So Jesus finds Peter, sees Peter, and restores Peter for the decision that he made, because he cared so much about him. See, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Thanks for listening to another life-changing podcast by Detonate Youth at C3 Church San Diego. We hope you go out blessed and are ready to take on the world.